Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, Courtney and I are always on a health journey. We're always trying to lose weight. And we recently started Noom. And it is a personalized plan that meets individual needs. They take into account medical issues. They take into account dietary restrictions. They take into account the psychology behind losing weight and the biology, meeting you where you're at. So they have an app and you can go onto the Noom app and you can share, like, they have coaching, they have recipe ideas, you input your food, but it really helps me stop mindlessly eating. So it is very sustainable and it is not a restrictive weight loss program. Because, you know, I like my chocolate. I love my popcorn. I like my wine. And guess what? With Noom, they take that into account. We're not going to be like never having to treat again, right? I love that it is psychology and biology based. So Noom uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain. But it also takes into account, you know, the biological factors, which also affect weight loss. And the program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. I am such a craving girl. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. And the program's totally flexible. Noom's flexible program is focused on progress instead of perfection, which is that's what I need, because sometimes you have a couple setbacks and that's okay. It's not about perfection. It's about creating healthy habits. And Noom's approach is grounded in science. They've published more than 30 peer-reviewed scientific articles describing their methods and effectiveness. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. You can sign up for a trial today at Noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living, available to buy now wherever books are sold. So guys, check out Noom.com today. Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. This is Mary from the Bay and Courtney is still in Perry, but today I have the lovely Kate Casey with me. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. We haven't talked in some time.
I know.
I think the last time we talked, we did like an old recap of a New York episode.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right.
Yes. So it's been some time. We are going to be debriefing all things Beverly Hills, but I'm obsessed with Kate because this is what I do on Mondays. My sister, I go, okay, let's look at Kate's list and decide what we're going to watch this week. So tell us a little bit about your podcast and your watch list every week.
So I've had a show for 6 years and so it's basically everything in the unscripted umbrella. So reality shows, documentaries, and docuseries. And I often interview the people that are featured or the people that create anything in that unscripted umbrella. So every Monday I give you a list, a guide of what to watch in unscripted, and it goes through different categories. So there's going to be a true crime. There's going to be a sports, a reality show, documentary. It's a little poo-poo platter for everybody. It's the seafood platter, if you will. And you can pick and choose. What
Who
you want to watch.
Food platter?
Yeah, exactly. And some things are obviously better. Sometimes the shellfish is far beyond the salmon. So there's always something for everybody, and it's a great list. And I just think that if you love reality shows, you probably love documentaries. If you love documentaries, you like docuseries. We're all watching the same thing. And I think the overarching thing is that we all are fascinated by the way people operate in the world, the way they make decisions, the way they break up and fall in love and all those things. So it's a great guide of what to watch. And I put that out, and I have an episode every Tuesday where I just go through the list. I'm like, okay, this is what you got to watch this week.
And I just watched The Mother of Sin on Netflix, the Lori Vallow story. And you had a podcast with who was on it?
So there are two guests I had. So it's called Sins of Our Mother on Netflix, and the story of Lori Vallow, who was the batshit crazy mom who remarried soon after her husband was murdered by her brother. And she would not answer, who she would never answer where her children were. It was like 6 months of like, where are the children? So this docuseries was fantastic because, first of all, Skye Borgman is the director, and she did Abducted in Plain Sight and I Just Killed My Dad and The Girl in the Picture. So she's amazing. So this one went through, first of all, they had an original version, and then they got access to all the text messages between Lori Vallow and her new husband, Chad Daybell. And so what made it, so they kind of scrapped the original one, and then they put in, especially in episodes 2 and 3, all of the text message communication between Lori and her new husband, which is bananas, because Chad Daybell basically was a fiction writer. And he would write about the end of the world, the apocalypse. But then he started getting a bunch of chicks showing up. And there were people who were typically Mormon, but kind of like looking for something a little bit more. And he appealed, this story of the apocalypse appeals to people who are nervous about their future, typically because of some sort of trauma in their life. So he went from a fiction writer to putting podcasts out and then making himself like a spiritual leader. Lori connected to that. So I interviewed the director of it, but I also interviewed this fantastic forensic psychologist who has a podcast called Hidden True Crime. And he so beautifully spelled out for me why she would make this decision to have her children killed and then cover it up. So the net is this, and it makes so much sense to me. First of all, in her family of origin, we believe that her father probably sexually abused her. Mm-hmm. And she had a very odd relationship with her brother, which led him to believe that maybe there was some sexual assault there too, in some capacity. She was married 5 times, and the second marriage, she had a son with her first marriage, and she marries this man. And at some point her son comes to her and says, he's
abusing me.
He's abusing me. And I feel like that's when she snapped. I think that she was like, I couldn't protect my own kids. And I think that's when she started to look for other answers. And then she started to believe in the end of the world and the apocalypse. So it was like opportunity met disaster, because she clung on to Chad Daybell and he convinced her there are zombies that inhabit people's bodies and there are different degrees of it. And you have to basically rid that person of the zombie, and that means killing them. And then what the other thing that the forensic psychologist said, his name's Dr. John Mathias. He said, he's also in that documentary, but he said to me, there's a connection between the way Lori Vallow thinks and Mohammed Atta, who was the lead 9/11 terrorist. People like those two are so entranced by the afterlife, what's going to happen after they die, that living people are immaterial. So Atta didn't care about the people that would die in the building, in the same way Lori Vallow didn't care about her children dying, because in their mind, there's this afterlife and they will be celebrated and rewarded for their what they've done.
And so she kept saying they're safe. They're fine. They're safe.
She's
they're
like,
fine.
Wait, why are you asking? They're fine. And the people say also that she's in her jail cell singing and dancing. She's planning, looking forward to dying. How do you communicate with a crazy person like that? You can't.
And they both killed their spouses or had their spouses killed.
Yeah. But I
and their
like,
children.
I don't know if he is as, I think that his pathology is different than hers. I feel like
I could see that.
You know, in like a Columbine, there was Dylan Klebold and the other guy, Eric. And it was just like, there was one that was far worse than the other. And the other one was kind of led into it. I feel like
Lori was led in.
She was led. Yeah. They're both horrible human beings. Let me just be clear about that. But anyway, it's called Sins of Our Mother. It's on Netflix. And if you love true crime, you're going to love that because it really does go into the pathology.
I watched all three episodes and I had seen like a Dateline in a 2020, but this went so much deeper and it was fascinating. There was many things that I learned a lot of new knowledge from it. So I loved it. Any other recommendations of things to watch?
Oh my God, always. Week? Like there's nothing I love more than going to a party and I meet somebody. I'm like, okay, what do you like? What are you into? And then they leave with like a bunch of things to do. Did you watch The Untold about Manti Te'o? I believe that you did.
I did. And that I just watched the one about the basketball ref.
Yes. Delaware County, Pennsylvania guy. Manti Te'o just returned to Notre Dame. It was like last weekend or the weekend before, and they posted the footage. It was the one of the first times that he had returned since the whole catfishing scandal.
I feel bad for him. His life was ruined.
It was. But when he went back to the stadium, they had him come out into the field and they all stood up and screamed and clapped and he broke down on the field.
I have chills.
I know. I lost it. Yeah. Wait, what else did I just cry about? Oh no, you have to hear the story. I swear to God, then we'll get in Beverly Hills. Okay. This is like knowing me is the way I write. So I just interviewed the creator of Amazing Race, who, by the way, she came up with the idea. She's married to her husband. It was like 2000. He went to a conference and he comes home and she's like, what's new in TV? He goes, we're running out of ideas. She goes, you're an idiot. I could come up with an idea. He goes, you got 5 minutes. And she goes, how about a show about traveling around Europe? I just backpacked with my friend after college and we were running out of money, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, that's actually a great idea. They sold it to CBS. She worked in advertising. Killer. Okay. But anyway, this season, they always have great personal stories. You have to watch the season because there are twins. They're like 37 years old now.
Okay.
They only met each other last year.
Oh, wow. Separated at birth.
They were born in a South Korean orphanage. One went to an American family in Florida, the other in Maryland. The one woman's daughter did a 23andMe test, figured out there was a match at a 49% DNA combo, and they that's the way they found each other. Aww. And so they've only known each other for like a year at the point where they joined Amazing Race. So they're
doing it together
on the trip.
Oh yeah. Wow.
So I just interviewed them. And then like, if anybody who's ever known someone who was reunited with a loved one, I mean, you'll just cry your face off, but that's a good watch Amazing Race for just that story.
Yeah. You just need the feel good sometimes. Feel good. Beverly Hills was not making me feel good.
Oh my God. But you know what? I feel like you're like me where you can sometimes compartmentalize. Like when I watch that show, I'm just thinking, okay, like the pathology, I'm like, okay, like, where does that stem from? Like, let's break down the relationships. It's almost like I have a diagram in my head.
And you posted something yesterday on your Instagram story. Is it still up? I wanted to read that because I think you bring up a very good point. And it says,
and I know it to be true.
They didn't want Mauricio to be a partner, so he started his own company, and it far exceeded the success of the Hilton and Highland. She was the struggling sister, the single mom who became the star. Their success is not celebrated. It infuriates them. And I think that is what this is all about. Yeah.
I think that this show really is all about the Richard sisters.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think every Housewife franchise should be about, like, it should tell the story of that city and what that city is about. But the fact that
having
this
like
is
a family.
Like, no, I feel like it has to tell the story of what the city is. Like, who lives in, like, what, who are the women, who are the archetypes that live in Los Angeles?
And that were born and raised in the city.
Or just who lives there. So the fact that you have three sisters who grew up in Beverly Hills. And
which is rare for people to like grow up there. Yeah.
One is the heir or married to the heir of the Hilton fortune. One was the child actor and the other was the forgotten about sister. That's the making of great television just right there.
Absolutely.
And then like every story Kyle has is like, well, when I was dating C. Thomas Howe and when Kim was married to this billionaire, and it's like their lineage, their history is so deep in the fabric of Los Angeles. It makes it so interesting. But then add to that the layers of their relationships. Like, listen, Crystal and Sutton and Garcelle, they all add their own value to it. But at the core of it, I think why Beverly Hills is so fascinating is really built on the relationship between those three Richard sisters.
And it will be really interesting what the direction of the show goes, because clearly right now in real time, it doesn't appear that Kyle and Kathy are talking. No. And we don't know who's the lineup for next season. Everyone, it seems like a consensus once Lisa Rinna gone. I disagree with that. But it's almost like Kyle right now in her real life has to pick, like, am I going to be on the show and hang out with Lisa Rinna, or am I going to pick my sister and my family? And I think she's going to pick Lisa Rinna on the show.
Well, I think it's an easy decision for her. I think she's going to leave. And here's why. Mauricio and the kids have that show on Netflix coming out about the agency.
Yes.
If you compare the viewership of Bravo versus Netflix, that's taking her career into a whole other trajectory. And I feel like she could confidently say, I was successful. Away. You know, I did what I needed. And this, I think it's a good time for her. I feel like you should always walk out on top. And I just think for the sake of her family and the fact that Mauricio, yes, I think she's gonna walk away.
You're convincing me right now, and to also, be honest.
It's not the same team in place for the show. It's kind of like a family, you know, that where you work with people all the time. When you go through the list of things that would keep her there, I just think that the list that would make her want to go is becoming longer and longer and longer.
I'm literally mind-blowing.
I mean,
right
I
now.
Also think Candy Burris should leave too.
I think Candy, she's had her time. It's okay to move forward.
It's okay to go. You know what? Like Vicky Gumbelson never got this message. But like, there's a time where you go, I think I should feel really good about what I built and what I created. Like, we have to go back to 2011 when Kyle is in the backyard of her house and she's talking to Mauricio and he's like, well, there's this opportunity and I can start my own business. And she introduces herself to us as Paris Hilton's aunt. Right. And if you look at the way her life has changed, and some people on Twitter were like, she's not that much of a star. I mean, she is a star. NBC Universal Bravo World. She has a huge, that's a big, she had a success. She was executive produced show. Maybe it didn't last, but like, I think people can have micro successes. I think that they, as a family, have built this agency. That's a big success. They're independently wealthy now. Her life has completely changed from the 2011 Kyle Richards that we saw.
I remember when she was shopping in Palm Springs with Kim at Gelson's and they were fighting over like macaroni salad, basically. And they were all nervous for Lisa Vanderpump to come over to their like Palm Springs house because they didn't think it was like nice enough, basically, you know?
That's my point. So when people go, she's not a star, it's like, but in the Bravo world, she is.
I think it's really interesting. Lisa Rinna made the point, like saying Kyle is more famous than Kathy, and she said she's richer. I would say Kathy is richer, Kyle's more famous. What do you think?
Oh, I think Mauricio and Kyle are, I think their income is probably very close right now. But the fact that he has like 60 offices and now will be franchising the business, without question,
he's going to surpass the Hiltons
way beyond.
What? Mm-hmm. I'm like mind blown right now. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Hilton and Hyland was Rick Hilton and Jeff Hyland, right? Jeff Hyland died. I don't know what their business is now, but I think that we all live in, you know, a media centered world where we hear nonstop about agency deals. And I think that the fact that they have this television show just shows how much that business has grown. When I hear about real estate growth, I hear about Compass and agency. I haven't heard Hilton and Hyland. The only time I ever heard that was when I lived in LA and it was like, kind of seemed like an old timey kind of like legacy kind of firm. Plus, Rick is at a point where I think he's probably wants to retire and just kind of play golf.
Done. Right.
Is he going to be like hustling? Mauricio is like a YPO, no, they probably YPO guy. He is like a hustling businessman.
Is and he though? Is he just popping gummies? Is he high as a kite?
I would too if I would. I mean, I think those guys who are like CEOs, I think that, you know, probably in the real estate business, it's like you throw them a bone maybe. I don't know. I just think that I think the dynamics have shifted.
I'm saying this as an outsider.
I'm saying this is like who they were at 2011 is totally different. And I think people are kind of only looking at this episode, but you have to go back and look at the full picture. You have to look at the dynamics of them as kids. And Kathy's the older sister and she marries Rick Hilton when she's 18 and she has an entree into a societal, world that her younger sisters may have known C. Thomas Howell or whatever, but Kathy Hilton is like hanging out with Michael Jackson and Donald Trump's and like all those people in the 80s. She's with the elite.
Yeah.
And I think that people forget this is like a family, their family origin. It was all about like being around wealthy people and having access to them. So if you're the sister who isn't the big child star and didn't marry the wealthy guy, and then she was a single mother for a little bit, and then she marries some guy who really starts at the bottom.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but recently I came across Alo Moves and now my whole mindset has changed. This app makes it super easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. If you're a beginner or advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, they have award-winning workout classes like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates with or without weights. And if you need a little bit of stress relief, try their meditations. They have affirmations, face yoga, dry brushing, journaling for those quiet moments. And you know what's just as important as fitness and nutrition? That's sleep. Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer. I've been going to bed at 9 o'clock and sleeping till 6 a.m. getting like the perfect 9 hours. I'm obsessed. I really recommend The Art of Sleeping on Alo Moves. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code TJG for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com code TJG. alomoves.com code TJG.
Courtney and I both have Pelotons. It is always there for me. You know what I mean? Like after a long day of work, that's the last thing I want to do, jump on the bike. But I muster up the energy and I literally will be like, okay, I'm just going to do a 10-minute class. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm here. I feel good. This is making me feel better. Then I'll do an additional 10-minute class. Then I'll throw on another like weights one. And all of a sudden I've done 30 minutes of workouts. I also fall in love with my instructors. I'm obsessed with Cody Rigsby. He makes me laugh. He like talks about ranch dressing, all his TV shows. He's a housewife person. Obsessed with Tunde. I want her arm. She's super inspiring. But I also love that I can be like, all right, you know what? I feel like listen to Mamma Mia. So I can do a Mamma Mia ride or a Taylor Swift ride or a Beyonce. Also, you don't have to just do rides. They have meditations. They have a walking people. And honestly, it gets your heart rate up. I know Courtney has done the marathon stuff. She's a big runner. You know, they have so many classes, 5 minutes up to an hour. I mean, so many genres, hits, I can't talk enough about the Peloton. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus. You can do a rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms do apply. Join the Peloton journey with us.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period, when I felt like I was going to crawl out of my own skin. I was so irritable. My skin was constantly getting acne around the chin. My cravings were insane. I could have eaten my own hand if it was rolled in batter and deep fried. Don't get me started with the chocolate. But now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. The way Estro Control works is it eases PMS in a really interesting way. So the ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, women start having PMS, spots on the skin, they get cravings, and feel low all of a sudden. You guys need to check out Estro Control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use code JUDGY at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com. Code JUDGY for 15% off your entire first order. You don't want to have to deal with PMS. Okay. Probably the funniest part of your drawers is your underwear section. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. It is the wild, wild west of wardrobes. You have Christmas undies. You have got some birthday undies. You have 5 different brands. You have ones with holes in them. You got your period ones. You guys, you got to throw them all out, because now I started wearing me undies. These are buttery soft, built for comfort. My other pairs all have to go because me undies is all I reach for. They have styles for everyone. They have classics like all black. They have fun. I got these little shamrock runs. They have super fun expressive prints and they look good on everyone. They have sizes from extra small to 4XL and guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody. And it's not just underwear with MeUndies. They have a lounge collection, super comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they have this Move Me activewear collection, and it is the softest activewear on the market. Also, all their stuff is sustainably sourced materials, and they work with partners that take care of their workers. If you're not happy with your first pair of undies, it's on MeUndies. Guys, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/TJG. That's MeUndies.com/TJG for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, their comfort from the outside in.
In terms of his career and moving up, you're like, you know, that's the kind of family dynamic that a lot of people can relate to. It's like betting on the wrong horse, right? Where they bet on the wrong horse, because here she's still married and she's got success with her marriage and her kids. And she built this like TV career. Again, I'm not comparing her to like Julia Roberts, but I think she has been very successful. And I think that in families like that, when there's the sibling that's kind of like in the background all the time, and then they become very wealthy.
She's become the star.
The power dynamic shift.
And Kathy is very much like the matriarch, the way that she talks to Kyle. It's like, Kyle, don't say shut up. Like, and I think she comes from like, Kyle has new money and Kathy has old money. I think that's something to recognize.
Exactamundo.
And also Kathy comes from the generation of like, we don't talk about our feelings. We don't throw our dirty laundry out and we sweep things under the rug. And that's what she wants Lisa Rinna to do after this episode.
That we have generational differences, you know, like Crystal looked 3 and she has been in a world where she has a butler. You know, it's like a completely different way of looking at life. Yes, agree with you. That's a really important nuance.
Yeah. Okay. So basically it's 10:39 in the morning. All the ladies are waking up. They're kind of packing. Ren is like, I'm in such fog. This is like way worse than a hangover. She's taking in oxygen. She's like, my face is puffy. Kyle's been like, mine is too. And she's just like, I'm just so shaken from last night. But also like notice that no one's actually telling you what happened. They don't talk amongst themselves on camera what happened. This is all we know is them in their confessionals, which I think is something very interesting. And behind the scenes, people are saying that Kathy Hilton said something to a DJ in the club.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of getting everyone's version of the story. Like Sutton's like, she was just like acting kind of off and she wanted everyone to do a conga line, but no one wanted to do the conga line. And it's like Kathy's way or the highway with anything.
Everything.
Yes.
So another important nuance, she is always the power player in the room. And then she joins this show. And she's not. She's clumsy. Agreed. She doesn't know how to operate. She's talking about tequila nonstop. There's like an agreement amongst them. Like, this is the way we do things. And then you stick her in and she thinks that everybody should move around her.
Absolutely. Because that's how our whole life is gone.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, I guess Kathy is like, if you don't go home with me right now, you're not my friend. Also, I'm guessing Kathy is wasted.
Also, Kathy strikes me as somebody who has always had Chardonnay her whole life. And then suddenly, because of a tequila business, she's drinking tequila and maybe allergic to tequila, or like me with the Goldschlager. If I drink that, I will murder somebody.
Okay. Okay. Not giving you Goldschlager. What about Fireball? Does that have the same effect? It's like a cinnamon whiskey too.
Yeah, that would not be good either. But like, you know, she's like in her 60s drinking tequila for the first time. And like, she just seems like she went off the rails. But also the problem with the whole thing about what the real story is, there are two things, is like, we know what happens off camera is always the juiciest, which sucks because the cameras are already left. But also there's all this innuendo, and I get why she went full court press on anybody who printed it, because there's actually no proof.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
For us viewers, for the producers, for the other women, you know who it's not a problem for? Kathy Hilton.
Kathy Hilton is a fucking mastermind.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, she's spinning this on Lisa Rinna in her grief. Like, that is very thoughtful. Like, that was brilliant. And Kathy is also pretending like nothing happened. And I was shocked.
But I think that she is all right. And there, we get little context clues, right? Happened, it's going to end up being my fault. She's probably the kind of person who never takes accountability for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. And when you have that much money, you can just fire people, cut them off, et cetera. Like, other people don't have that luxury. Like, all the context clues, I think, are so good. Or when she said that Nikki said, dealing with my mom is like what dealing like a nursing home patient.
Pretty much. I mean,
like, she's a disaster.
But then I like how Crystal comes in and is like, well, how bad could have this been? But then I'm also like, is Rob talking in her ear? Like, you don't mess with the Hiltons type of thing.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And then, but okay. So Renna's big claim is that, you know, they're driving home in the Sprinter van. Also, let's get the fucking van driver. I want to hear his side of the story. I'm not joking.
Good point. Yes.
I'm not Great joking.
Point. Great
and
point.
She's like, I'm going to take down NBC, Bravo, and fucking ruin you all. And Rinna says that she was jumping on glasses, which also I'm like, at the reunion, are we going to get a picture from Lisa Rinna, like in Aspen, like with broken glasses on Kyle's kitchen floor? Like, well, I honestly, Lisa Rinna is smart. One thing I feel like she would have maybe taken a video like to get the audio, and maybe we're going to get that at the reunion, or at least like if someone was literally jumping on their fucking like readers in front of me when they left the room, I'd be taking a picture of that, like as evidence, especially because come on, Lisa Rinna's smart. She's a producer herself. Do you think those things happened?
I think they all happen. Mm-hmm. I also think that it was probably a lot more nasty comments about them individually and as a group. And I think that that's the reason really Lisa is most upset. I don't know if she was as pissed about certain things as much as it was probably like, you're a bunch of losers. You're probably lucky that I'm on this show. You're bottom of the barrel. I have more money than you. Where are you in your career? She probably said things that were so below the belt.
Right.
And for whatever reason, she's not being really specific about it. Maybe it's to protect the other women. Like, I don't know. Maybe she just wants to say, Crystal, she said that like, you're only married to Rob for that. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it could have been.
But basically, I feel like anything
nasty. Yes,
anything like she has had on her mind. She had two sips of her tequila and she spoke her truth. And you know, who hasn't done that?
And that's why I think she's like, do you really want to hear? Do you really want to hear what she said? I do think it's funny that what they did include was, yeah, she said she's going to take down NBC, Universal, Bravo. That's probably like the one thing they were not afraid of. They're like, well, we're going to include that in because there's no way she's going to take down NBC, Bravo.
Right. So then it's like Kathy won't get on the plane. She's just sleeping in her room. She's just kind of keeping quiet. She's probably just like waiting for them to leave so she can go her own way. She's not going to get on the plane with these women. And then, but it's really interesting because Kyle is not going to be able to go to Crystal's birthday. She's, you know, packing her bags. Smokey's eating probably $1,000 sweater. Portia is sitting there with her lipstick, like full thing of makeup on her mom's bed. But she's like, I still haven't spoken to Kathy. And I'm like, that I find interesting because
that's not interesting to me. I mean, that is interesting, but I think that's probably the way that they operate in that family. They probably go for months without talking to each other, blowout fight, and then Kyle has to apologize.
Yeah, but don't you want to like discuss what was like? I as a sister be like, okay, what's going on? What did you tell Lisa Rinna?
For like, sure.
How are we going to save this conversation? Or I think it's really interesting.
I think she's afraid of her sister.
Yeah, you're. I think you're right.
I mean, I have an older sister, and even though like we're adults and she has children in college, there is an element of her that I'm still like, okay, I'd still like. It's very easy for me to go back into that place as a kid. Mm-hmm. She's like regressing back to like the little kid. Like, okay, Kathy. Like, there are some people in our lives where they're such control freaks or they're a disaster where you're just like, fine, I'll eat it for the sake of just moving forward. And I feel like that's their relationship.
That's probably a very valid point. Okay. Then Dorit and Erica go to the chocolate shop.
That was too long.
I feel like Dorit is now a parrot. She just keeps on repeating what everyone else says. She's like, oh, chocolate is luxury. It's so luxurious. But this is like, okay, so then they're kind of getting into like the whole Garcelle thing and the reel. And, you know, also Dorit was on Watch What Happens Live last night. And I feel like she's mad at Kyle.
Oh, really?
I just got this vibe. Like there was this contest between Erica and Kyle, like who's better at what? And she kept on picking Erica. I was like, ooh, are you in a fight with Kyle right now?
No, she seems like also the kind of person who's like, I just want to make, she's a people pleaser maybe.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
But then, so Erica gets into this thing about like, well, you know, like fuck the neighbors. And then there's like this, they kind of break this fourth wall talking to the producer.
Did you think she was going to say something about the neighbor and go, I used to live next door to Armie Hammer?
I 100% thought about Armie Hammer too. I was like,
she's going to say it. She's going to say it.
Yeah. I honestly thought the same thing, but unfortunately she's like, the people that are doing the best are hiding the most. And then they go,
that's true.
They go to like Dorit. Dorit's like, well, in this town, the rules are different for the elite. And you have to think twice if you want to challenge them. Also, Dorit is like so fucking scared. She's like, I'm not going to say anything bad because I don't want Kyle to be mad at me, nor the Hiltons.
Yeah. I mean, but that's like so interesting to unpack too.
And then Erica says, she isn't going to be the whipping boy for this entire group. And like, you guys have another thing coming for you. She's basically like, I want the light off me. What Kathy did in Aspen was insane. And we need to talk about it on film. Like, we're not going to throw this under the rug anymore. So then, you know, we're going to this roaring 20s party. This looks like the worst party. They basically all dressed up in these costumes. No one even brought like plus ones. It was only Rob and Asher. Mm-hmm.
And Erica didn't make any sense. Medusa, I don't understand her. I never understand most of her outfits. I'm like, wait, what's happening here?
It's Diana called her Maleficent. I was getting like a very like Lord of the Rings vibe or Game of Thrones. I don't know. But you know, Lisa Rinna's just like, oh man, like, you know, I'm still kind of in shock. I kind of have PTSD, but she's not being specific with the women of what happened. No one is being specific.
I felt her vibe through the TV, and this is based on only my degree in armchair psychology, is that
absolutely
what she's thinking at that party is, I just had to listen to this woman say, this show's stupid. We're all losers. She hates Crystal, hates her house. You know, I think she wants to go, by the way, she showed up. She thinks this whole thing is stupid and we're like losers for being on the show. I felt like she wanted to say that.
Oh, that's Kate. You've really opened up my world today. I'm like believing everything you're saying.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that she did take issue with some of the worst things that she said, but I think a lot of it that really gets under her skin is this, like, you want to be on the show. I think a lot of it from the beginning was this season is that she shows up late because of her sister or her daughter's wedding.
Because the contract.
And she's negotiating for more money. And they're like, okay, you were just a friend of, now you want to come back and you're lazy and you want to travel and have minimal time on camera, but you think you should be paid almost what we get paid, which is insane. Also, you're clumsy. Like, the tequila thing, like, I don't need to hear about it every single time. We have this agreement. You have one big event. That's the end of the story. I think all those little things have gotten on her nerves up to this point. I also think that Erica and Lisa are like, well, you're going to go down in a blaze of glory because we get the heat all the time on social media and outside of this. And you've been considered a queen for the last 6 months. You get all these press opportunities. The New York Times
people adore your profile. Her.
People adore you when you're actually kind of a horrible person. Yeah. And I think that what happened is that they went so over the top with it. They're expecting Kyle to go, you know what? We're done. But that's her sister.
Yeah.
So I think they are starting to overplay their hand. If they had just been like, just heads up, your sister's terrible and dropped it, it probably would have sat better.
Right. Well, and Renna's so cryptic. She's like, if these women knew what she said about them, they'd be so upset.
Right.
And, you know, and then she just like, you know, quietly is trying to leave the party and she's like pulling Crystal. She's like, I just need to go home. You know, I'm just really upset about Aspen.
But don't you think it would have been a greater scene if she's in the middle of the party, she raises her glass and she goes, I'd like to make a toast. I'd like to make a toast to all of you whom I've worked with and loved for so many years, who apparently Kathy thinks are fucking losers. She thinks we're paid too much. Our show's dumb. What do you have to say for that, Kathy? And Kathy would be like, huh? That would have been great TV.
Yeah, but it's like Renna doesn't have the balls to actually do it. It's like she's trying to like make her chest room. She's trying to be like, am I really going to take down Kathy Hilton or is this like too big of a queen? And then, but she does say in her confessional, she's seen the devil and it is Kathy Hilton. I mean,
wow.
You know, Courtney and I are always on a health journey. We're always trying to lose weight. And we recently started Noom, and it is a personalized plan that meets individual needs. They take into account medical issues. They take into account dietary restrictions. They take into account the psychology behind losing weight and the biology, meeting you where you're at. So they have an app and you can go onto the Noom app and you can share, like, they have coaching, they have recipe ideas, you input your food, but it really helps me stop mindlessly eating. So it is very sustainable and it is not a restrictive weight loss program. Because, you know, I like my chocolate. I love my popcorn. I like my wine. And guess what? With Noom, they take that into account. We're not going to be like never having to treat again, right? I love that it is psychology and biology based. So Noom uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account the biological factors, which also affect weight loss. And the program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. I am such a craving girl. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. And the program's totally flexible. Noom's flexible program is focused on progress instead of perfection, which is that's what I need, because sometimes you have a couple setbacks and that's okay. It's not about perfection. It's about creating healthy habits. And Noom's approach is grounded in science. They've published more than 30 peer-reviewed scientific articles describing their methods and effectiveness. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. You can sign up for a trial today at Noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living, available to buy now wherever books are sold. So guys, check out Noom.com today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Pretty fucking wild. Also, we need to talk about Erica, like, driving by her old house and sitting outside, and then we flash back and she has a completely different voice. Did you notice her voice was like high pitch?
Yep.
Here's my chapel. This is the broken pool, which I remember when her and Tom were looking at the pool, and I was like, they're having money issues if they can't fix the tile in the pool.
Oh, I also thought watching that scene then and now is that it was so clear that she had no power in that relationship.
Absolutely.
Because that house was actually what he wanted. She would never have decorated her stupid house that way. Right. And the big obnoxious paintings over the fireplace, like.
No, not her style at all. She's basically
just an accessory in this marriage. Like, she had to do, like, remember he would walk around with a styrofoam cone or cup? And then she would say something and you like, don't interrupt me. It was nice to go back and to see that, because I feel like she goes over the top on the show because she is
she's trying to justify it. And like, she's like, she's was literally abused.
Mm-hmm. She was like literally emotionally abused. And now she's like taking it out on other people. Now that's not to say her behavior after all this is not atrocious, but I do think that there is some element of like, I have been berated nonstop in my home and now I'm on the show and I can use my
voice.
You know what it is? I feel like she treats the women on the cast the way that Tom treated her in their marriage.
Oh, I feel like I'm at a therapy session. You are a real doctor, Dr. Casey.
Do you know what I'm saying though?
Absolutely.
Because the way she talks, she's like, I'm going to minimize. That's how I think she lived the way she talks to Sutton is the way that she lived in the house with Tom.
You're totally right. And I'm appreciating them kind of bridging their friendship. I do think they like each other and, you know, they're sipping bourbon together now. And I hope they can be friends because I love Sutton. I think she's a character. Yeah. And then, okay. So then we go into the whole, like, Erica Garcelle talking about the reel. And I guess they had a nice moment there. She's like, you know, Garcelle, I think you should have given me the heads up.
I thought that she handled that really well.
That was perfect. It's perfect. Like, she's just said, you know, you should have told me about it. You talked about it. And I know that's your job and you have to do your job, but I would have liked the heads up. And Garcelle says, sorry. And Yeah, I will next time. And then Crystal walks down and she's like, it's like Lisa Rinna just saw a ghost. They like pan to Kathy and Kathy is like, do-do-do-do-do, hunky-dory. And then, you know, Kathy's like, it's because of her mom, you know, and Kathy's like, you know, she's tough and it's going to be all right. Like she'll be fine. And then she goes to her confessional and she's like, you know, I talked to Lisa Rinna. She was a sweetheart. She listened. I'm sorry if I offended her, if I was the toe that broke the camel's back. What? Do you think that's planned out though? Like
no,
the who's she, hunky dory, the toe that broke the camel's back.
No,
that's just how she's supposed to see.
I think she's just like a complete ding-a-ling.
That's a good. The ding-a-ling is pretty much her.
Yeah, like the way she would like call Paula the woman that would like ran her home, like
the woman.
Like what? I mean,
yeah. So then
I think she's surrounded herself for a very long time with people who just are terrified of her.
Yeah.
Or are just willing to do whatever. She just strikes me as somebody who will cut somebody out very easily.
Well, even Paris is scared of her. And if you did you watch Paris's?
Yes, absolutely agree with you.
Paris
is still terrified. Remember at the horses when they went to the horses and she dropped her bag and she was like, I got to pick up my bag. My mom can't see the bag on the ground. She is terrified of her.
Kathy is like an old school Catholic woman in a lot of ways, I think. Very traditional and like she's the matriarch. And yeah, Paris was legit scared of her mom and like knew her wedding had to look a certain way because of her mother. And it would have been different than what she really wanted.
And it's always interesting when Kathy talks about her mom because she immediately breaks down. And I'm like, that is the only time I ever see her emotional is when she talks about big Kathy. Mm-hmm. So I always try to envision what it would have been like to be around, probably why Kyle made that TV show. Like, what was this woman like? Was she just like swilling like a glass of bourbon at the Polo Lounge, just yelling at people? Like, what was she like?
I think she was a hustler trying to get them all work and like really going back end ways probably to do it and making sure like her girls had a nice life. And that's how Kathy probably met Rick.
Yeah.
Like that was ingrained in them. Okay. So then Rinna leaves and Erica's like, let me call Rinna. There's like no answer, anything. And Erica's like, well, things have gotten ugly, you know, like, and like, are we going to talk about this in this group of, you know, of like, basically, are we going to bring this up on camera? And then Diana is talking about Lisa Rinna being a chicken for not saying it. And Diana is freaking nuts. And basically on Watch What Happens Live last night too, they asked a question to Garcelle and Dorit and said, do you think Diana was actually sick? And then they were like, well, that's what you told us. And Andy was like, like, basically no one thinks she was sick and she just stayed in Hawaii because she didn't want to come.
But that's a similar, it's interesting the parallels between Diana and Kathy. It's like they both operate like I have so much money. Mm-hmm. You guys
do whatever they want.
You're beneath me. I'm friends with Elton John. Like, I don't need to do what you want me to do. She won't stay in someone's home. She has to have her own luxury hotel room. She has an advanced team that shows up to make sure she's facing the right, you know, direction of the sun. Those two live very parallel lives.
Why do you think Diana did the show?
I think that someone like that may have that much money, but what they don't have is fame. And she's been in the background for too long. She has these charity things, but she doesn't get the accolades that come with it. And in her mind, I think that she thinks her story as a refugee should be told. But I think that there's too much darkness in her story. Mm-hmm. And she's not the best communicator. And I think it's like gone all wrong. I also feel like she never studied the show or watched. Not that you should study the show, but you should be like,
know what's going to happen.
Who takes a job and doesn't know what the company does?
Exactly. I completely agree. The only other theory that I kind of believe was like to get Asher some notoriety too.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. And I think maybe even the son, I don't know, because, you know, he's kind of made an appearance too. But yeah, Asher, absolutely. And he seems very nice. Do I think that he should get his own Broadway production? Probably not. They look disjointed. I said, looking at them is like looking at like a picture of them together is like looking at the flyer of a Scandinavian cover band. Like they don't make any sense.
It just, it's an interesting pair. That's for sure. But basically we kind of end the episode with like Erica, you know, wants Lisa to speak up and take down Kathy Hilton, basically.
Yeah.
And Erica's like, I have nothing to protect. Why are we protecting Kathy? Like, now's mm-hmm. her turn to go down.
I do tell you, I really think a lot of it is this bitch shows up four episodes into the season. Lisa Rinna would get mad at Denise Richards for the same reasons. Like,
Lisa Rinna is the biggest hypocrite of all time. Like coming at Kim Richards.
But she would get mad at Denise for not showing up to filming because I think she's like, I show up. She does strike me as somebody who shows up on time to work.
I absolutely. She's always the first one at all.
She's the first one there. And yeah. She's like, I'm here. Why did these people not show up? I always think that the issues between Lisa and Sutton also have to do with like, here's Lisa Rinna, who's been in the entertainment industry for many, many years. And now Sutton joins the show and they're all of a sudden they're being invited to the same opportunities. Like when Maren Morris was filling in for a talk show host, Lisa couldn't do it. Sutton's asked. I think there's a part of Lisa, just like a lot of people in the entertainment industry who are like, these reality stars get on a show. They get all the access that I do, but I've been working in this industry for years. So that's a layer of their relationship that I don't think can be expressed through the show.
And why does it seem like Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin don't have money? I mean, I know his thing is like he won't redo his kitchen. They're not extravagant. I mean, her vintage Gucci is in their garage, like getting eaten by rats, basically. Mm. It's very strange. I don't think they have money. But where does their money go?
Maybe, but also maybe they're one of the few people who just Harry Hamlin seems like he is not showy.
Yeah, he's just a Renaissance man.
He would go to the dinner party and he would see somebody show up with all labels and just be like, even his own wife, by the way. But I think he'd be like, ew, that's gross. Why do you have to act like that? You should be more confident than that. So maybe it's really him. Maybe if they weren't together, she would be different in that way. I don't know. It's really hard to say what people really have. But I can say that
just based on the kitchen alone, it's disturbing.
Most housewives, I think, are all smoke and mirrors.
I do definitely agree with that.
I think it's the richest one of all of them is that woman, Nina from Dubai.
I also think Jackie, New Jersey.
I don't think so. I think Nina Dubai well outpaces her.
But do you think Nina Dubai is fake?
No, I think that they own homes, or excuse me, I think they own buildings in Dubai.
Okay, so real estate.
I think Jackie probably has a lot of family money, but I think that like real estate money in Dubai where they're like a different tax issue.
Yeah.
I think so that's a like a whole other level. Yeah.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? I personally knew this episode would actually be nothing, but I still thought it was great. Like we learned nothing new, really.
Oh, I just think it all goes back to like, I do think that Housewives over the years sometimes annoys me because it has to be about like someone has a felony or somebody at a dinner party threw like a, you know, like a wine glass, like those big moments. But I actually think it's the small moments that say so much about somebody, you know, the little things that they say and they do give us so much more context for who they are and the way they look at the world. And I think that we're all cultural anthropologists and that looking at this show says so much about relationships between sisters and coworkers and people in your neighborhood. And that neighborhood happens to be a place where
the rich and famous play.
And everybody is looking past your shoulder to see if somebody more famous is walking through the room.
You're totally right.
And that again, this Housewives has to be about that city and who operates in that town. And so Beverly Hills is so much about the imagery of like acts, like how much wealth you have, but it's not based often on substance. So you could have a conversation with somebody and walk out of a room and go, I actually don't know one thing about that person when it's so different than New York. So I do think that those women do highlight that story in a great way. I think it's built on the Richard sisters, but even with Sutton, that she serves a purpose. Like She's a woman who is was married to somebody in financial services
about
her. She's kind of like, she has access in some ways because she's got the money, but she'll never be accepted because she's not in the entertainment industry. And everything there is like, who is one or two levels above you?
Yeah, you're totally right. I love this.
Yeah.
Kate, tell us where we can find your podcast, your Instagram handle, your Twitter, everything.
So Reality Life with Kate Casey, anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Instagram is at Kate Casey, C-A, TikTok, it's Kate Casey. And that must watch guide, you can get it, katecasey.substack.com. It's easy to do that to sign up because it just comes to your email box every Monday instead of having to search for it all the time. But it's just a great guide for what to watch all week. And I promise you that I'm going to give you things that are off the radar. Wait, there's one. Let me leave you this one. I looked it up. Wait, it's for next week, but I got to tell you to look for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is called.
You guys, this is my Mondays. I go to my sister. Okay. Let's see what Kate says for this week.
This, I've never heard this story and I'm obsessed now. Okay. So this is what we're going to look for. The Curse of Robert the Doll.
Okay.
Okay. And believe it or not, it's on the Travel Channel.
Okay.
But this is why you need to. Okay. It's considered the most haunted doll in the world. It lives behind a glass in a museum in Key West, Florida, where every year thousands of visitors come to look at this doll. But they say that if you look at the doll, you're cursed. It's like bad shit happens to you. It's so this one tells this true story of the origin of the doll, uncovers the story of its first owners in 1905, and seeks to find out why this doll is so nefarious. People are traveling to see this weird doll. And like you go to Florida and by the way, it's in Key West, which is like suspect. That's why the Southern Charm people are always going bananas. But yeah, isn't that weird? Robert the Doll.
Okay. I'm totally all
Don't in. You think that's a great like dinner yes. party topic too? Like, do you guys know about Robert the Doll in Key West? It's like so awesome.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, wait, one more that you're going to like.
Great.
This is next week, but you be prepared. Hostages is on HBO. It's a four-part series about when they took the hostages at the embassy in Iran in 1979. It was that Ben Affleck movie.
Sign me up.
And it's tells the whole story. You know, those hostages were kept for 444 days. So anyway, that's four part, and that starts Monday and Tuesday, the 28th and 29th. And I know that's going to be hard for people because Bachelor in Paradise starts the same day. But just kind of like
that's what DVRs are for.
DVR it and then like dip in later, because if you want to watch like Bachelor in Paradise, this is going to be like a whole other thing. But I think it's important to like go back and forth. So like you'll feel real
it'll be
dumb.
Your palate cleanser.
Yes, you'll feel real dumb watching Bachelor in Paradise, but then you'll watch the hostages and go, I need to just go back to somebody like having a threesome just to balance it all
completely,
out.
Completely, completely palate cleanser.
Yeah. Okay.
thank you so much. This was awesome.
Thank you.
And we will chat again soon.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.